Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
We all know that rest is best when it comes to your baby and for your own health as well. I nursed my daughter until she was, people are going to probably go, what? Until her third birthday, I let her decide, and she said she had enough at three, and I was like, okay, good, because that was a lot. But we had many, many challenges, and I wish I had known this woman who's joining us now. Sarah Chana Silverstein is here. She's going to help us overcome some breastfeeding challenges. Hi, Sarah.
Or
Sarah
Hi, Chana. Nice to meet you.
It's great to have you on. So, Sarah Chana, my daughter had a high bubble palate. She had a tiny little mouth. There was so many issues, but I just kept doing it. And I used a nipple shield in the whole nine yards, but it never, ever got easy. I just stuck with it. But I would, I hate to think of women going through the pain that I went through. So, first of all, what are some of the, let's talk about the top three breastfeeding challenges, and then if you can give us tips how to overcome them.
Well, I think the most important thing is that I wish that it was discussed in junior high and high school and college and at your first visit with your OB when you're pregnant, that lots of women have breastfeeding problems. It's not so natural and so easy. Let me correct that and say that I think that babies have a natural instinct to want to breastfeed, and moms have a natural instinct to want to breastfeed. But to coordinate it and figure it out, it's really difficult, and support from knowledgeable people is so important. I mean, as you mentioned, your daughter had a bubble palate. Now, 99% of people out there are going to say, what is a bubble palate? Well, a bubble palate is when you have a high palate, and you have a teeny tiny ridge in the top there. And what happens is that nipple can get caught right inside that bubble palate and scrape, and then you get really, really, really sore nipples. So I think the three most important things to know is, A, that getting guidance and help is really normal and natural. Number two is that someone really needs to, an outsider needs to analyze the shape of the baby's mouth, the shape of your breast, the structure of your nipple, and figure out how that works. And the third thing is to know that time and patience is really required. And even a week into breastfeeding, women and babies may still not be confident.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of women feel like they should just get it right away. And if it's not fixed in a week, then they quit. And that's what breaks my heart, because I'm such a huge lactivist. Now, Andrea, what about for you? Tell us about your experience.
You know, I had a it's not so much a difficult time breastfeeding. I actually didn't enjoy it that much. And I you know, it's interesting to listen to Sarah talk. And she said that sometimes, you know, people, it's not so natural in the beginning. And it wasn't something that I enjoyed fully, but I did do it for all three of my children. And my son in particular, I did it for 5 weeks straight. And what was happening is that I was finding, and Sarah, maybe you could even tell me, now I know, this was, you know, 10 years ago. So now I know a lot more. But I remember at the time, like I didn't have a lot of milk. So he was hungry and he was crying all the time. So what about for those parents like myself, you know, who are having issues with breastfeeding, their babies are like crying and they're hungry. What are some recommendations you can give to us moms?
Well, I think that the first thing a woman thinks instantly is, I don't have enough milk, I don't have enough milk. And sometimes that's true, but I would guesstimate that 9 out of 10 times, it's not the mom, it's usually the way the baby's suckling. So some babies have trouble coordinating suck, swallow, breathe. Some kids have what is called tongue tie. So the first thing I do is I take a medical history of the woman. I mean, I spend an hour and a half minimally with each client. First, I take their medical history to see if there was any medications they were taking or are currently on that can sometimes reduce breast milk, although women can breastfeed with most medications. And then I talk about the birth, because your labor and delivery has a huge, ginormous impact on the breastfeeding baby. And sometimes babies are really, really sleepy from all the medications used during delivery. So I think that analyzing and looking at the way the baby can suckle, I think it would have changed your experience a lot. And that guilt of feeling, I don't have enough milk, is usually resolvable really quickly.
I wish I knew you back then, because it really would have made me, you know, there would have been a lot less guilt, a lot less frustration, stress. Sure. I remember, I mean, this was my, you know, this is back when I had my first baby, and it's super stressful because on one hand you're like, oh my gosh, I need to be doing this because I don't want to, you know, harm my baby, because we all know breast is best for sure.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're like, I can't continue like this because I'm not getting any sleep and he's constantly crying. Right. So it, there's frustration.
I feel the American Academy of Pediatrics and other medical organizations have really convinced women that, as you said, breast is best. I think where we're failing, and what I'm trying to be an advocate for, is explaining, okay, we got it, breast is best, but now we need to problem solve. So I feel like, you know, we used to live in communities where there were mothers and mothers-in-laws and grandmothers and cousins. Everyone was around you. And now we have our baby. Within 24 to 48 hours, we're home, we're isolated, and we don't have that that understanding that it can be challenging. And I think that women and girls from a very young age need to be taught that it's okay not to love breastfeeding, but let's figure out the parts you do like, and let's try to find some things to help you in the areas you don't like. You know, I work with a baby, my goal is to teach those babies to nurse as quickly and effectively as possible. So the studies show that by 6 weeks old, a good breastfeeding baby can fill up their entire tummy within 6 minutes. Now, it doesn't mean that every baby's going to be 6 minutes, and it doesn't mean that every feed's going to be 6 minutes, but if you have a goal in the beginning to make sure that the baby's not just snoring in the middle of breastfeeding, or spacing out in the middle of breastfeeding, or, you know, rediscovering their fingers or toes, and you teach babies to nurse quickly and effectively, then moms that are not loving breastfeeding feel like they have more of a life. And that's a skill babies can learn.
And this is when you should consult a lactation consultant. Correct.
Right.
Consult a lactation consultant.
Right. I mean, I feel, of course, that it should be just part of the protocol. You know, you see your OB or your midwife, and you deliver, and you work with a lactation consultant. Unfortunately, it's not part of our system of health at this point. And that's one of the reasons I created an app. I created an app called Breastfeeding for Boobs, because I feel that most women kind of feel like a boob right after they give birth, even if, you know, they're PhDs or CEO of companies. All of a sudden you have this little baby in front of you and you totally feel like you don't know what to do. And in my app, I have 103 original videos that have, they're 3 minutes, because I think that's kind of the attention span of most new moms. And I answer all these questions, and I tell them, you're normal if you don't love it. You're not normal if you're in pain, because you can fix that. Because I feel that, you know, just to call someone to push you through it is not necessarily what we need anymore. We need quick solutions for challenges that come up.
I love that you said that. Actually, I scribbled down before you even mentioned your app is, do you have videos? Because I think a lot of people would like to see it, especially since, you know, you're one person and you kind of traveling around the country, I'm guessing, is not that feasible. So for those people who do want to have, you know, have access to your knowledge and your wonderful experience, I love the fact that you have the videos. Now, so the app, just to repeat it, is Breastfeeding for Boobs. And is it a free app or does it cost any money?
It's $1.99. And it's available for your iPhones and your Androids.
Perfect. And I think that's really affordable.
Yeah, and it's and what I think is so great about it is that when you Google a breastfeeding challenge online, you're going to get 50 different people's opinions. And sometimes in life, it's really important to stick with one person's philosophy and outlet, and insight, I'm sorry. And if that doesn't work, then to switch to someone else. Because when you're online, see, when I'm talking about breastfeeding, I talk about women with large breasts and small breasts and big nipples and small nipples and, you know, too much milk and not enough milk and babies with bubble pellets and, And when you Google online, sometimes you're just getting one woman and her opinion and her experience, which could be so drastically different than your own. So I was trying to give
I totally agree, Sarah, and I think you are an absolute expert, but unfortunately we're out of time today, but I want you to come back because, you know what, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Definitely.
As I know come Lisa back. Did. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.